I felt that we're a little bit stagnant and running too much into debt.
Central Council Clinkett and Haida brings back a former president from Juneau. And auctions, expos, and rockumentaries in your neighborhood this weekend. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more coming up. Princess Cruises on Thursday unveiled its final 2011 schedule for Alaska, with no major changes. The cruise line's final schedule reflects its earlier announcement to pull the Royal Princess from Alaskan waters next year, dropping the number of Princess vessels down to 6. Among new cruise tour offerings, the line announced an on-your-own option designed for independent-minded travelers that does not include any pre-planned excursions. The 8-year-old Royal Princess is one of the line's smallest ships, with 710 passengers, and it's headed to Princess's sister line in the UK. The 6 Princess ships returning to Alaska in 2011 show Northern Lynn Canal itineraries like this year. The Diamond Princess, Coral Princess, Island Princess, Golden Princess, and Sapphire Princess will port in Skagway, and the recently returned Sea Princess will call in Skagway and Haines beginning in May. Central Council elected a new president last weekend before adjourning the 75th annual Tribal Assembly in Juneau. The Central Council Clinkett and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska voted for Edward K. Thomas Sr. of Juneau, who previously served in the same position for more than 20 years before retiring in 2007. The council is the governing body for more than 27,000 tribal citizens. Returning President Thomas says 3 years off was enough time away from the council's helm.
Yes, I spent just about 23 and a half years as president and took 3 years off and ran for election again this year. Probably the biggest motivation is that I got rested up, that I, you know, got rejuvenated physically and mentally. But the second is I felt that we're a little bit stagnant and running too much into debt.
Thomas noted serious problems with weak rural economies, higher cost of living, and fewer resources. He pointed out the importance of working closer with local governments and other organizations to meet challenges, including groups in the Northern Lynn Canal.
Well, I think, you know, when it comes to the economic conditions of our region, I don't think you're exempt from that. So I think the high unemployment rate and the, the weak economy is a very important challenge for all of us, and we want to make sure there are safety nets for people who are needy, and that's what we're all about, trying to make sure that notwithstanding, you know, the shortcomings of our economy, people are not without, you know, that they can have a quality of life.
Elections were held late last week at the annual assembly for president and for vice president positions. New vice presidents for the next 2 years represent San Francisco, Ketchikan, Klawak, Kasan, Juneau, and Seattle. Youth representatives are from Sitka and Cake. Members also introduced 56 resolutions on issues affecting the constituency.
Well, I think as far as internally, I think there can be some updates and policies relative to the election process. Internally, I can see, you know, that we need a document or modify the documents that guide us through our elections, because there's still a lot of challenges, meaning there are a lot of people contesting elections. And when it comes to other things, however, I've been focused primarily on the internal preservation of resources type mission that I feel that I have. I want to make sure we just don't spend more than we take in.
Thomas says just because there's a new president doesn't mean the former administration's projects will be dropped. He plans to continue social programs, but with a different approach, he says.
There are a number of human service type issues that the former president was focused on, and I'm not going to just throw them all out because I'm me and his him. For example, suicide, substance abuse. Those types of issues we'll still be putting a lot of effort in, but we're going to approach them differently. We'll be more collaborative and trying to do it on our own. We want to be supportive of everybody that wants to do good for our citizens, so we want to be more collaborative instead of trying to do it on our own.
The regular drama debate and forensic season is over, but there's still an important performance left for one Northern Lynn Canal student. Skagway Junior Brandy Mayo is competing in the National Catholic Forensics League National Tournament next month in the Midwest. Coach Tegan Baldwin is working with her.
She's done very, very well. She made it to the national tournament for her oration, which is a 8 to 10 minute speech that she gives on a subject that she has chosen. And we ranked for almost all of the events that we entered into this year, so we're doing pretty well.
Brandy went to state alongside other teammates her first year and placed at state the last 2 years. She's traveling to Omaha, Nebraska for her first national tournament on May 28th and bringing her original oratory with her.
Which is a speech that we have to have written ourselves and memorized and deliver. And it can be on any topic that we want, and it can be persuasive or informational.
Again, Coach Tegan Baldwin.
She's doing the Pacific Trash Vortex. It's an informational speech about, it's also called Plastic Island, and it's just this mass of plastic in the Pacific Ocean that people don't even realize is there, and it has, like, the ability to incapacitate ships, and so it is basically an informative speech, and that was her topic. It's something that's really interesting and something that you don't ever hear about.
It's also been called the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, and it's a big collection of marine litter trapped by the currents in the North Pacific. Existence was first predicted in 1988 by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration based on research from Alaska. Brandy says it's a mixture of performance and research that wins the original oratory category.
Well, it's actually all of those. We have to first write the speech, and for it to be well written, it needs to have statistics and stories and examples that back up what we're trying to say, and then we have to deliver it well also. So you have to be well-spoken, and our posture has to be good, and things like that.
A dessert auction and performance will help raise money to get Brandy to nationals and help the team travel to and enter tournaments next year. Funding for Skagway's DDF program was on the rocks earlier in the year as school officials and community members debated whether or not to continue the program. Tegan Baldwin.
The funding for DDF has always been on the line, sort of, and the latest I heard was that the school was going to fund the trip next year to the state tournament, which means that we need to provide funding for ourselves via the club, the DDF club, to go to the tournaments before that in order to qualify for the state tournament.
Brandy is a junior now and has been involved with Skagway DDF since her freshman year.
I feel like on a personal level, it's helped me to develop my writing and speaking skills, which I know are going to be important throughout the rest of my life. And it's helped me to develop also my interpersonal skills, which are extremely important, I feel. So I think it's a really nice program, and I feel like we should keep it.
The Skagway DDF Dessert Auction and Performance event is Friday, April 30th at 7 p.m. at the Eagles Hall.
And we're going to be doing some skits and some speeches, and some audience interactive kind of whose line is it anyway games, and also a dessert auction.
Also in Skagway this weekend is the Small Business Expo on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the school gym. The free event is sponsored by the Skagway Development Corporation and AK SourceLink, and offers workshops and information on resources for small businesses like marketing, loan financing, startup, and business planning. The White Stripes' Under Great White Northern Lights premiered at the South by Southwest Music Conference in Austin last month. Then, the American rock band threw out an opportunity to fans. Be a part of the tour, they said, by throwing a screening party. KHNS Radio is working with the Haynes Library and the Fort Seward Lodge to throw two this week.
If you listen to a White Stripes record, there's a lot of different types of songs and personalities happening. Your brain starts to forget there's only two people doing it.
The rock duo formed in Detroit in the late 1990s, springing from independent underground to prominence in the garage rock revival scene. Jack's on vocals, guitar, and piano, and Meg, his ex-wife, on drums. They've gotten their fans' attention with their mixture of punk and blues, their tireless performances, not to mention their 6 studio albums that have collectively sold upwards of 12 million worldwide and won 3 Grammys for Best Alternative Music Album. But it's their style, their rough and ready, almost improvised way, that makes them so much fun to see live.
I think the biggest misconception is probably that every single thing about the White Stripes is premeditated.
The music is really completely in charge of us.
And Under Great White Northern Lights is their first tour documentary, officially making its way through the UK and Germany as we speak. The documentary, directed by Emmett Molloy, follows the band on tour across Canada as they play parks, bowling alleys, concert halls, and scenes like this, recorded on a Canadian public transit bus. The White Stripes movie Under Great White Northern Lights shows for free Friday, April 30th at 7 p.m. at the Haynes Library for all ages and 9:30 p.m. at the Fort Seward Lodge for ages 21 and up. I'm Tara Bicknell, reporting for KHNS. Share your town news with anyone. Just send them a link to khns.org. Archives of past newscasts are under the Listen tab.